Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
Well, today is Resurrection Sunday and we celebrate Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior's victory over Satan, death, and the grave. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the very foundation of Christianity. It is one of the most fundamental doctrines and convictions of the church. The Bible identifies Jesus as the Son of God and the Savior of humanity. While on earth, God empowered Jesus with the ability to do miracles to prove to people who he really was. In fact, Jesus said in John 10:38, believe in the evidence of the miraculous works that I have done. They prove who I am. And God wants to know who you believe Jesus really is. Because you must personally decide for yourselves who Jesus is. For what you believe and then your response will determine your eternal future. We are talking about things today that determine life, our destiny, and our eternity. You know, Jesus, his death was public. The crowd, including his enemies, saw him on that cross and they saw him die. But he rose again, just like he said. Now, you weren't there, but we take the word of God and we take history to verify the fact that he is risen. Jesus told them what was going to happen. His disciples, not only his disciples, but all of the people in Mark 9:31. Listen to what he says. And at this point, he's talking to his disciples. It says, Jesus taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after they kill him, he will rise on the third day. And he said this while he was on earth over and over and over and over again. So it should not have been a shock or a surprise to anyone. Now, after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to Mary, and then he sent a message to his own disciples to meet him in Galilee. But they did not believe he actually rose from the dead. You know, today there are still people who refuse to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Let me tell you something. Anything that Jesus says, you can believe it because he keeps his word. In Mark 16:9, it says, after Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person he saw or who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what had happened. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen him, they didn't believe her. According to a recent national survey poll, nearly 70% of Americans believe that Jesus rose from the dead. The Apostle Paul, when he was testifying before King Agrippa, he stated in Acts 26:8, why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead? God is the creator of the universe. He can raise the dead. And he raised his son, Jesus Christ. Let me say this, folks, because we don't talk about the resurrection every service. However, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there would be no Christianity in the world. It would not exist. In fact, Paul wrote, our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain without the resurrection. Listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians 15:17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you're still in your sins. He went on to say, but now Christ has been raised from the dead. In 1 Peter 1:3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Christ is a historic fact proven by the message of the Gospels, the testimony of witnesses, and the conversion of Paul himself. One great proof of the resurrection was that the Jewish leaders made sure that Pilate would secure Jesus' tomb so it was impossible to steal the body. That became a proof that he rose. The Pharisees and the elders, remembering that Jesus had said that he would rise on the third day, they went to the governor. This is found in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 63. They said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he had been raised from the dead. And this deception will be worse than the first. So Pilate answered, take a guard, go make the tomb as secure as you know how. Verse 66 says, so they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. Now, some engineers, considering the type of stone used in the time of Jesus, calculated that the size needed to be to roll a stone in front of a 4.5 to 5 foot doorway would have to be at least 1.5 to 2 tons. Manuscripts in the Cambridge Library in England making reference to Christ's burial stated, and when Jesus was laid there, he, Joseph, put against the tomb a stone which 20 men could not roll away. The Bible also talks about the fact that the tomb was sealed. An official Roman seal was placed on the stone. And this seal on Jesus' tomb was a public testimony that his body was actually there. In addition, because the seal was a Roman seal, it verified the fact that his body was protected from vandals by nothing less than the Roman Empire. Nobody was getting into that tomb, and nobody could come out of that tomb. Well, guess what? When the resurrection occurred, the religious leaders were frantic. And guess what lie they devised? The very one that they said, we will avoid by doing all of this security. They lied and said, the apostles came and stole the body. That is enough proof that Jesus rose from the dead. In Matthew 28:11, it addresses this. Listen to what it says. The guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. What had happened? An angel came. They were frightened. They fell down as dead men. The angel rolled away the stone and Jesus walked out. They came and they told the religious leaders what happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave large sums of money to the soldiers to lie, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you and everything will be all right. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Let me give you a second proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There were so many witnesses who saw him after he rose from the dead. You know, there are still skeptics, however, who say, how do you know he really rose from the dead? Well, the testimony of history and law states, when an event takes place in history and there are enough people alive who are eyewitnesses and one is able to verify its validity, it is considered historical fact based upon circumstantial evidence. So let's enter the courtroom of history and listen to eyewitnesses who saw Jesus alive. Number one, we're calling Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, she thought she was talking to a gardener at Jesus' tomb. We find this in John chapter 20 and verse 15. Jesus asked her, "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" So she thought she was talking to the gardener, and she said, "Sir, if you've taken his body away, tell me, where have you put him? I'll go get him. I will fetch him. I will fetch him away." And Jesus said, "Mary." And she turned around and she said, "Master, you're alive." Witnesses 2 and 3 are two of Jesus's followers. Their names were Cleophas and Simon. This is found in Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. Two of Jesus's followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles out of Jerusalem. And suddenly Jesus himself came alongside and joined them. And they were talking about the crucifixion and how the body of Jesus was now missing. They were all upset and they didn't know what to do. So Jesus, this is found in Luke chapter 24 and 27. So Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and he blessed it. And when he broke it, he gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized it was him. And at that same moment, he disappeared.
Thank you for joining us for today's message. Starting this Sunday, Pastor Steve will lead us through a powerful new series from the Book of Revelation. It's a message for the moment, and it starts this Sunday. Here's Pastor Steve.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. I'm beginning a new teaching series Sunday, May the 4th, titled Revelation, The Unveiling. I'm diving deep into one of the most mysterious, powerful, and talked about books in the entire Bible, the Book of Revelation. Wars and rumors of wars, plagues, judgments, the rise of the Antichrist, the return of Christ. What does it all mean? Are we living in the last days? Join me every Sunday as we walk through the Book of Revelation, verse by verse, unpacking prophecy, revealing truth, discovering what God has told us about the end of the age. If you've ever wondered about what's coming next, God is speaking through His Word. Come and hear what He is saying. Bring your family and bring your Bible. Revelation, The Unveiling.
It all begins May 4th. Revelation, The Unveiling. A journey into truth, hope, and what lies ahead. Don't miss these powerful Sunday services. The church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Let me give you number 4 witness. The 4th witness was Thomas, his disciple. You remember this. We still call him today Doubting Thomas. Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail prints in his hands or in his sides, I will not believe Jesus rose from the dead." Thomas was not present at Jesus' first meeting with his disciples. How many things we miss by being absent from our church services? It's just an aside. Thomas stated, "Except I see, I will not believe." He has many, many twins today. Actually, his name was called Didymus, means the twin. There's a lot of people in church who still don't believe everything the Bible says, believe it or not. In John 20 and 26, it says, "After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them this time. So Jesus came, the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst of them and said, 'Peace be to you.'" Can you imagine? We see Jesus every time he shows up. He just shows up. He doesn't come through the door. He just shows up. And that's why he says, "Be at peace. Don't be afraid. It's just me." And how many of you would say, "Yes, Lord, it's good to see you again"? I think you might be a little nervous too, by him just showing up like that. And then he looked straight at Thomas and he said, "Okay, reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it in my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing this time." And Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus chastised him for not believing that he had risen. And he told him, "You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." Folks, this is so important because one of the most important factors that govern your ability to receive from God is your faith. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark 11 and 23. He said, "I can guarantee this truth. This is what will be done for someone who doesn't doubt, but believes what he says will happen. He can say, and it will be done for him. That's why I tell you to have faith that you have already received whatever you prayed for, and it shall be yours." That is so spiritual. We all grew up learning that only believe what you see. And God says, if you believe it, I'll show it to you. Just the opposite. In fact, if you don't doubt when you believe something and you actually say it, if it is in my will, it's going to happen. And if it's not, I'll let you know. The most things will be in my will. You simply need to ask and believe you've received it, and then you shall have it. Come on, I think we need to repeat that. Because that's the principle of prayer, that God wants us all to obey and understanding. So let's say it together. No, let's not say it together. Say it right after me. Repeat after me. When I pray, if I believe what I prayed for, I have received, it shall happen. That's what Jesus said. Yeah, give the Lord a hand of praise. That's what he said. So why all the doubt? Why all the fear? It's so important for us to be able to interpret the word of God based upon what God is saying to us. God doesn't want us to pray and then worry about it. God wants us to pray and then believe that you already have it. God wants you to believe that the things you're praying about, he wants to give you, and you already have it. In other words, act like you already have it. Trust him knowing he'll let you know. You don't have to worry. Believe the things you ask for, you already have, Jesus said, and you shall have them. Can we give a hand of praise for the word of God today? Now, there were many other witnesses who saw Jesus after his resurrection. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 3, "Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at the same time." And at that time, he said, most of them are still alive. "Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles, and last of all, I also saw him." In Acts chapter 1 and 3, it says, "During the 40 days after his crucifixion, Jesus appeared to his apostles from time to time alive and proved to them in many ways that it was really he himself that they were seeing. And on these occasions, he talked to them about the kingdom of God." Now, we as Christians have a resurrection promise, a personal promise from God. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we will also have a bodily resurrection if we die. I hope you heard that. I'm going to repeat that. Because Jesus rose from the dead, bodily, we will also have a bodily resurrection if we die. See, after death, our spirit and our body will one day reunite. The Bible says that Jesus is referred to as the first fruits of the resurrection. Let me read that. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 20, it says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. It goes on to say in verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. It shall happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the last trump is blown. For there will be a trumpet blast from the sky, and all Christians who have died will suddenly become alive with new bodies that will never, never die. And then we who are alive shall suddenly have a new body too. For our earthly bodies, the ones we have now that can die, must be transformed into heavenly bodies that cannot perish, but will live forever." I think we should praise God for that too. What do you think? That's pretty awesome. Not only did Jesus rise from the dead, but someday every one of us who believe in him as personal Savior and Lord, we will rise from the dead as well. And our spirit will join our bodies, our renewed bodies, once again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the proof that one day your body and your spirit will be reunited. The resurrection of Jesus Christ distinguishes him from every other religious leader. And there's a lot of different religions. But Muhammad is dead. He died 632 AD. Buddha died 400 BC. Joseph Smith, the Mormon founder, he died 1844. Mrs. Eddy of Christian Science is dead. She died 1910. Charles Russell, Jehovah's Witness founder, he died 1916. You can go to the place where they're buried and you'll still find them in the grave. However, folks, Jesus is alive. You can go to where they buried him and there's nobody in the tomb. Jesus is alive. There's an empty tomb that tells us our Savior lives. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is conclusive evidence of his deity. He is the Son of God. He is the only Savior of the world. In fact, the Bible tells us in Acts 4:12, Jesus is the only one who can save people. His name is the only power in the world that has been given to save people. We must be saved through him alone. Now, as I already stated, your eternal destiny depends upon who you believe Jesus Christ really is, and then your response. The Bible tells us in a verse most of us know, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 18 goes on to say, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son, our Savior." This is your opportunity today to make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is what the Bible says about that. It says in Romans 10:9, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead," there you go, the resurrection, "you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved." Heaven awaits our choice and our decision. Today I talked about the resurrection. What do you believe?
Thank you for joining us again today for A Place to Grow. If you would like to get a copy of today's message, you can download it for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org. Navigate to the Media tab and click on Audio Messages. You can also help us keep this radio ministry alive by making a donation on our website as well. That's aplacetogrow.org. The title of today's message is The Resurrection of Jesus. What do you believe? Now, Pastor Steve would like to pray with you.
Father, we come to you today in the name of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness, for your love, for your mercy, and for your grace. And even as I pray for our listeners, we ask that you would meet every need. You said in your word, "Make your prayer unto me, and I will hear you." You said that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and your ears are open to their cry. Lord, hear us today. Meet every need in our lives. We trust you for the answer. And we thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were touched by today's message. We are honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hurst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.